Father, thank you so much for this group of ladies and for bringing us together to fellowship, to worship you, and to study your word. We thank you for the many different giftings and talents you have provided for us and how we can come together and use those to worship you, to encourage one another, to spend time in fellowship, Lord. Pray that you help us to use those hobbies and those giftings and talents for you and for your kingdom, Lord. And we pray today as we get into the word that you speak to us, that you speak to us through your study, through your word, and that you show us how we can walk in a better community with you and better community with our church and with our city, Lord. We just devote this time to you. May this be your time, Lord. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so question for you ladies. How many of you here are homebodies? How many of you like to be at home, are comfortable at home? That's your place. Raise my hand. I'm one of them. A good amount of us. Okay. How many of you love to be out and about, busy, doing things, being in the community? Okay. A few of them. Do we have any 50-50 mixes? A few? Okay. Okay. I would say, just looking around, a lot of us are homebodies. A lot of us like to kind of be in our house, just looking at how many hands we had raised. And I think we live in a time where it's never been easier for us to stay at home. It's very easy for one to stay at home and never leave the comforts of their home. We can get on our phones and we can have our groceries delivered to our front door. We can have all of our household necessities delivered to our front door if we want. You can online shop and have Amazon Prime have something there in 2 days. A lot of work now can be done online on the computer. You can even do your doctor's appointments via video chat from your couch, from your bed. And we can watch church in our pajamas if we want to, laying in bed, sitting on the couch in the comfort of our own home. So I think it's become very convenient and very easy for us to sit at home and to enjoy those comforts. And you know, for one way or another, that does feel very comfortable for us. Maybe we're extremely busy in our day-to-day life, and so when we get time at home, we just want to veg out and be at home. Maybe we're tired. There's just a lot going on, and we physically feel tired. Maybe we're introverted, and that's just a safe, comfortable place for us. Or we're overwhelmed with the things that are going on in our life and the things in the outside world. Whatever it might be, our home often can feel like a very comfortable place that we just want to stay at and not leave. However, our comfort and our calling are not always the same thing. Scripture does not describe our faith as something that we practice alone, that we practice in isolation. Rather, following Christ has always pulled people out of isolation, out of being by themselves, and into a community. And so today, that's what we're going to be looking at. We're going to be looking at what does it mean to actually be in a community with Christ and in a community with other believers. And so we'll start looking at how that community with Christ leads us into community with others in Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 25. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So in these verses, we see that our salvation, our relationship with the Lord, is not based on how good or how bad we are. It's not based on what we do, but it's based off of the blood of Jesus, which was shed for us on that cross, cleansing us. Our salvation is based off of that and that alone, not on ourselves and not on our own works. And so if we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, he is then put into the position in our life as acting as our high priest. And when he does that, we are given these privileges that come along with having Christ as our high priest. The first one is it lets us draw near to God with a true heart, with confidence of our salvation, and all faith. And we can do that because all of the evil and sin has been washed away by the blood of Jesus. So if Christ is our high priest, then we are confident in our salvation, confident in our faith, and we have this true heart. Second, it lets us endure in faithfulness despite tough times due to our hope in God's promises. So because we have hope in what God promises us today, tomorrow, the future of the world, we can continue in the hard times. We can endure. We can have steadfast perseverance in the hard times. And the final thing is it lets us give attention to our fellow Christians, loving them and serving them with good works. And this looks like regularly gathering at church together, encouraging each other, relying on each other more and more as the world gets worse and worse. So as our world gets worse and we get closer and closer to Christ's return, it can be tempting to isolate ourselves, to go to our safe spot, to stay there. But if we are in fellowship with the Lord and community with the Lord, then we want to go and draw into community with our brothers and sisters. Instead of relying on our own comforts, the comforts of the world, the comforts of our home, we rely on the comforts of Christ and the comforts and the community that he has provided us with our brothers and sisters. You see, this all starts first with our relationship with the Lord. When we're in fellowship with God and community with him, then our response is to go out into community with our brothers and sisters. In Christ, we draw near to God. So first, we're close to God. We're drawing near to him in community with him. We have this true heart, this true confidence. We're able to stay faithful to him, to his calling. And then we reach out and we care for each other. We have this community. So what does this look like? Drawing near to God looks like having daily prayer, studying the scriptures, being dependent on Christ, finding rest in the Lord. We're not turning to those external things for our rest, for our hope, but we turn to Christ and we find that in him. When we stay faithful, we cling to God's promises. We say, God promised me this and I'm going to hold this tight. This is where I get hope. This is where I get peace. This is where I get rest. And then we're able to obey him through trials, through difficulties. When things aren't going our way, we can obey the Lord. We can walk in his plan because we have hope in his promises. Because we're already walking close with him, because we've drawn near to him. We're able to remember God's faithfulness. When things get hard, we look back and we say, okay, God, you have been faithful to me in the past. You are a faithful God. You will be faithful to me today. And then we repent quickly. When we fail, when we sin, when we turn away from the Lord, or when we just don't meet the mark, we repent. We turn to the Lord quickly because our heart is already close to God. We want to be aligned with him. We want to be close with him. And we're in this very close fellowship, this very close community with the Lord. And then when we have those things, we naturally want to be in community with our brothers and sisters. And that looks like we care for one another. And so we show up to church. We show up for people. We reach out. We serve them. We encourage them. We sacrifice for them. We prioritize our relationship with our brothers and sisters. You know, when we hear that somebody has a need, our first thought is, how can I help my brother or sister in this need? How can I support them? How can I encourage them? What can I do to help them? You know, and we're already spending time with them in church, outside of church, reaching out, connecting with them. So we already know our brothers and sisters. We're close with them. We know what's going on in their life. So when a need arises, it's not a surprise necessarily. They don't have to make a huge announcement like, hey, this big event happened in my life. Because we already know. We've been walking with them. We've been close with them. We've been spending our life together. And so then we are able to prioritize their needs, to sacrifice for them, to serve them, to be in a community with them. And that's, you know, how we care for one another. But that all stems first from us being close with the Lord. Because our relationship with Christ naturally calls us into active, intentional community with other believers. So we start with Christ, with our relationship with him, and then it expands out to other believers. And when we are doing this, it leads us into unity, leads us into a unified community. We'll look at Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. So Paul spends the first three chapters in Ephesians listing out in detail all that God has done for us, freely by his grace. So he says, okay, God freely has done these things for you guys. You haven't had to work for him to do any of this, but he freely did these things for you. And once he explains that and it's understood, he brings a call to live rightly. Because when we really understand how much God has done for us, which we understand through being in relationship with him, being in community with him, and fellowship with him. So when we really understand that, we naturally want to serve him and obey him out of our gratitude. We are grateful for all the Lord has done. So we naturally want to obey him, to walk with him, to serve him. Paul says that we want to walk worthy before God. And a worthy walk before God is marked by lowliness and gentleness. It's not a pushy desire to defend our own rights and advance our own agendas, but we are happy and we can be content when we are not in control of the situation, when we're not steering things our own way. And I know we're all women. I know we like to be in control. We like things to go according to our plans. We say, okay, this should happen at 1, 2, 3, 4, and this is the plan. This is how things should be accomplished. But when we are walking worthy with God, when we are trusting in him, being in this close fellowship with him, we can be content in not controlling his plans for our life and not maybe even knowing what he's going to do next, because we trust in him. We are grateful for all that he has done for us. We recognize that. We understand that it's taken root in our heart. And so we can find contentment in that. We don't have to be prideful and say, I'm going to force my plans to happen because I think I know better. But we walk in this lowliness and this gentleness and this humility before the Lord. We are able to be long-suffering, bearing with one another. So we're able to persevere when things in our own life are difficult because we have recognized and we understand God's plan and his faithfulness. But then we're also able to be long-suffering with our brothers and sisters, with the community that he called us to. We're able to have a forgiving, a generous heart. We bring all things together in Jesus. So we know Jesus is the center of all of our lives, of all of what we are doing. And when difficulties arise in the community, and that can look like maybe there's conflict in the family. Maybe somebody says something that we don't agree with within our community. Because we're a family. Families have disagreements. Families have tension. Families have conflict. We're able to be long-suffering and say, but you know what? We all are focused on Jesus. Our heart is to serve him, to love him. So I'm going to work through this in love with my brother or sister. I'm going to be long-suffering with them, bearing with them. But it also looks like when our brother or sister are going through their own difficulties, their own trials. Maybe we're not going through one, but we see that they are. So then we can support them and be long-suffering with them, bearing with them that trial, that difficulty, because we're close to them. We're in this community. and we are all endeavoring to keep the spirit in the bond of peace. So we're recognizing and keeping the unity that God has created by his spirit. When we are together, when we are in our community, we all recognize that God has created this. The Lord is the one who has control over our life, who gives us the purpose for our life, who brings us salvation. We only have unity because of him, because of his work, what he has done. We can't create unity. It's the Lord who creates this unity. And we walk with him. We walk in the unity and the truth of God through the Spirit of God. So we're seeking after Christ to promote this unity. When all of our focus is on the Lord, on what he has done and how that impacts our life. So again, when we internally are in good community and fellowship with the Lord and our heart is aligned with him, then it gets aligned with our community, with fellowship, having this unity. And we only have that unity because of what we share in common. In Jesus, we share one body, one spirit, one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one Father. And these common areas that we have are so much greater than any of our differences. Any differences that come up, that try to separate us, that try to create conflict, that maybe even make us hesitant to interact with one another. Whatever it might be, whatever difference is holding us back, in Christ, we have unity because of what we share in common, because of the Lord. And so when we walk with Christ, when we are close with him, in community with him, and fellowship with him, it produces humility in us, love, love for Christ, love for one another, love for our brothers and sisters, for the community, and it creates a spiritual unity within the bodies of believers. So this is great. You know, this all sounds good. We're talking about, okay, yeah, be close with the Lord, then we're close with our community. But what does that look like? What does that look like? We'll look at Acts 2, verses 40 through 47 to see what this unified community actually looks like. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. In this section, we see that Peter starts off by communicating the truth of Jesus that he saw and experienced. And he keeps calling people to salvation. He implores them to trust in Jesus instead of the world. And about 3,000 people, my goodness, that is a ton at one time. 3,000 people gladly trust in Jesus and were baptized. So they show this public proclamation of their faith. And after they come to faith, they're growing in their faith. They don't just accept Jesus and stay there. They then begin to grow. They study the apostles' teaching. They gather at church and they are regularly in prayer. So they are working on their relationship with the Lord, their community with the Lord, and they're also growing in a community with one another. And it says, and the fear of the people came, or the fear of the Lord came upon the people as they saw the Holy Spirit work through the apostles. So we see that the Lord is working. They're seeing how the Lord's working in the apostles, and that is influencing them, encouraging them, making them be convicted for the Lord. And all of these believers end up making up the church in Jerusalem. And they sell what they have, and they give their money to the church, and then they trust in their church to distribute it based on need for one another. They continue to meet for this worship, for fellowship, for hospitality. So they continue to meet in a personal community with their church. But then they also love the outside community. And people are coming to faith daily. See, being a Christian apart from the church is like not really experiencing the Christian life. The life of a faith follower of Jesus looks like somebody who gladly trusts in Jesus. So they make a public proclamation of their faith and they commit their life to Jesus through baptism. They study the Bible and they teach the Bible. So we are in fellowship with the Lord, growing with him, studying his word, but then we don't just keep it in our hearts. We share that with others. That doesn't have to look like coming on stage and teaching the Bible from the stage. That looks like teaching the Bible to your children, to your sister, to your brother, to somebody you meet on the street. You're sharing the word of God with them. You're teaching them what the Bible says. And then constantly, a faith follower in Christ constantly gathers as a church for worship, for fellowship, for hospitality. The gathering that they do isn't just to, you know, check off a box and say, yep, I went to my church service for the day, I'm good. No, it's this continual thing where they are gathering together to worship the Lord, to spend time with one another, getting to know them, taking care of them, providing for them, fellowshipping together, learning together, and growing together in the Lord. And then they are continuing to reach more and more of the community with God's love. This passage is not telling us that we need to sell everything and give it all to the church to live communally. I know it says that this is what these Christians say, but it's not telling us, okay, guys, if you want to be in a unified community, you're going to go sell everything. No, it's simply demonstrating what being a faithful Christian looks like, including our commitment to one another and the church. And that's what we see. We see that they have a commitment to their brothers and sisters, a commitment to the Lord. And so they demonstrate that in their actions, in the way that they live their lives. Again, it starts with their internal relationship with the Lord, their fellowship with the Lord. Then it expands to their church, to their family in Christ. And then they take it one step further and they take it to the community as well. They want to bring in those who are outside of Christ's family, bring them in to Christ's family. So in order to do that, we must rely on the Holy Spirit to make this church, this woman's ministry, a place that lives up to what Acts 2 shows us it should be, a place that teaches the word, helps people grow, and loves the community around us. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit for that. And you know, as we talked about, there are going to be wounds that come up that our brothers and sisters have. Maybe there's wounds of Christians here who have been hurt by other churches in the past, by other Christians in the past. Maybe even our church has wounded people in the past, or one of us here has accidentally wounded somebody in the past. But we must rely on the Holy Spirit to help heal those wounds, to guide us, to lead us, so that we can have this unified community. And we do all of this so that we can live and grow together in our church home. Again, it's something that we do together. We don't do in isolation from our own, you know, by ourselves, from our house or wherever it is, but we do it together. Because the church is the home of those who follow Jesus, living and growing in their faith. And having a unified community is marked by a devotion to teaching, to fellowship, having a shared life, prayer, generosity, and worship. So it's something that it's holistic. We can't be in a full community if we are not first right with the Lord, in fellowship with him, constantly working on our relationship with him. It's not just a one-time thing. It's something that we do day in and day out. It says, you know, they continued steadfastly. They are always in these things. That's something that we do continually is our relationship with the Lord. And then our relationship with others, taking care of one another, being together, fellowshipping with one another. It's active. And then we have this generosity that we want to share with our brothers and sisters and share with the community. In Hebrews 10, we saw that we are called to gather and encourage one another. You know, when we meet, we have a purpose. Ephesians 4 shows us that we have unity that flows from walking with Christ. So we can be unified in our community when things get difficult, when things get challenging. We are unified because of Christ. Then in Acts 2, 42 through 47, we saw an example of what it looks like when the church lives it out. Now, I think we can read through this, and it can be tempting to say, yes, I've got that. I am great at my community. You know, I'm right with the Lord. I go to church. I spend time outside of church. I preach the gospel, you know, like check, check, check. Good to go. And I would encourage us to really take some time to reflect on our lives, to see, does my life really look like these things? You know, yes, maybe I am good in two out of these three areas, but are all three areas walking like we saw in scripture? I'll be the first to say I know my life doesn't look exactly like this in all three of those areas. You know, we all have room to grow, to walk in that unified community with the Lord. And, you know, that's the heart that the Lord, the vision that the Lord has given us for our women for this new year, is to focus on our community with one another. You know, we start with our own relationships. Then we work on our community with our sisters here, making sure that we are fully loving and supporting and caring one another, encouraging one another. You know, it's not something that we just meet, our women just meet on a Saturday morning, and then that's all we do for women's ministry for the month. No, it looks like, yes, we meet on Saturday mornings. We maybe pray together. We come to the Thursday prayer that we have, and we teach a skill, but then we're also texting our sisters. We're calling them. We're having coffee with them. We are really getting to know one another, to walk through our life together, to support them, to care for them, to encourage them. And then we take that and we share it with our city, with Stockton. We show them the real true community that the Lord has. You know, we live in a time where it's never been easier to stay at home, but I think people are also longing for real, true community. And we see that because people are on their phone, on social media, on all these different apps, trying to find connection with one another. They're posting their whole life and reading through comments and spending time, you know, trying to find this community. But that's all false. When a community is not rooted in Christ and not rooted in spending time personally getting to know each other, it's going to fall short. A true community is one that has the love of Christ and that spends time with one another. It's that time getting to know each other, being physically present with one another. And so may our church, may our women's ministry be a place of true connection, of true community, where when we go out and we talk to the community and we invite people in, they feel the love of Christ. They feel the care for Christ, and they say, I have been longing for this connection, for this true community. I didn't realize I was so isolated before, but I'm so glad to be here, to be with the Lord. And so in order to do that, we start with our relationship with the Lord. We extend out to our relationship with our brothers and sisters. And then we go out unified as a community. And we reach our city. We reach those who don't know the Lord. Amen. Thoughts, questions, concerns, anything that sounded a little funky, pushback?
Well, I'm just going to share a story. I have a young neighbor, and she got saved with her sister-in-law, neighbor, got saved early in her life. And she just said to her one day, this was this casual, she just looked at her, she says, well, Do you want to know Jesus? And my friend says, my neighbor says, yes. And she just shared, you know, she just shared the Romans, was it 10:9, 8:9, 10? And she accepted him. And she is one of those, she's very young. She's got three young children. And she's sharing these scriptures with her little children. Her husband is not, he's Muslim, he's not a believer, but he listens to her. He won't, you know, he's confused about it, but he doesn't put her down and he doesn't stop her from worshiping. And it was a simple conversation with her sister-in-law that brought her to Christ. And she's studying, she's basically studying her own because she doesn't drive, so he's gone all the time. But I just have to tell you, that's an example of, it isn't a big, you don't have to be up on a podium, you don't have to have the microphone that I want to have, but but the truth is, it's just that it was a risk for her sister-in-law to ask her that. She could have shunned her. She could have said, "Oh, I don't want to come back here for this all this talk about Christ," and she's raising her children. So I just, you know, I encourage everybody: don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to share. Don't be afraid to tell them Jesus loves. Simple thing: somebody's going through something, Jesus loves you. Pray with them. Paula will do that. She'll pray. Whether you want it or not, she's going to pray to you. and that touches people and it calms them down and gives them a peace that no one else can give them.
So. Even if you're stuck at home.
Huh?
Even if you're stuck at home, because I've been on, how many people have been on hold forever? Mm-hmm. And you're waiting for the PG&E to get to the next person. And most of the time I get so frustrated, so instead of taking my frustrations out on them, I actually ask them how their day is going, because I'm sure, and then I end up sharing the gospel to them, because on the phone, I'm waiting on hold, so, you know, not necessarily you're stuck at home, or just in your work, you know, work day, just always just sharing God's love is pretty welcomed, to be honest.
Well, the delivery people, how many of you talk to the delivery people?
Morgan, you were saying that our culture now and all of the technology is making it easier for us to stay at home. It's also making it harder for us to make connections in the community. And I'll just give you an example. When my grandchildren were smaller, my husband and I used to get them and walk down to McDonald's for breakfast on a Saturday morning and gave them some exercise and gave us something to do together. We all looked forward to it. And there was an older woman there whose name was Winnie. She was an Asian immigrant who had been here for many, many years. And she was older and she was slow, so they didn't really like her there, but we loved her. And I told the kids we'll call her Miss Winnie out of respect. And she'd always sneak them a free cookie when no one was looking. And we looked forward to seeing her. And then, they let her go because she was so slow. And I think I wrote a letter to management and said, we look forward to seeing Miss Winnie. Why didn't you fire her? They brought her back for a little while.
Wow.
But we look forward to it. Now I go into McDonald's on a Saturday morning. It's all automated. You don't see anybody. There might be one or two people dining there. Everybody's back in the kitchen. You have to go to a machine and make your order. And then they'll come and take your money. But it's not enjoyable anymore. It's like there's no people involved. And I think that we need opportunities for community.
Yeah,
I was just saying to Lynn and Carrie when I first walked in, it's just a joy to be able to get together with like-minded people. It's a joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's a really interesting point too that you brought up about like McDonald's. I think, you know, our culture is so focused on increasing efficiency. And there's nothing wrong necessarily with increasing efficiency. You know, we all want to be able to accomplish more and get more done. But in the midst of that, we often are losing that interpersonal relationship and connection and community. And that's what's causing more of that isolation and anxiety. You know, there's studies out there that talk about how being at home all the time and being in isolation increases anxiety and depression, and it's just not good for our mental health. And so we do absolutely need to seek out those opportunities to be in community. And, you know, starts with our brothers and sisters, you know, and it's more than just attending church services, which are wonderful. We absolutely need to do that and must do that because we must be in the Word together and studying together for our own selves, but also to be growing together. But then it's also, you know, meeting outside and being connected with our brothers and sisters outside of the physical meeting. Because yes, what a joy it is to be with like-minded brothers and sisters, especially in a world that doesn't think like we think, or that's just so focused on getting the next task done. To be able to sit down and talk about the Lord and share about the Lord and fellowship together is a huge blessing. What else? Any other thoughts, questions, concerns?
There's a famous video that I don't know if anybody has watched it because it's very old, but it's this missionary talking about he went on a missions trip to China where you are not allowed to be a Christian or to preach the gospel. And he used to say that people used to travel 6 hours to gather and to read the Bible and just to be there for a few hours and then go back another 6 hours to go back to their house. And these people used to sit on the floor and they were not allowed to have a Bible, and it was very hot. They didn't have enough food for everybody. But people used to be very joyful, looking forward to that moment to gather all together. Right. And then they were able to get 80 Bibles. And they shared it, right? But some people didn't get to have a Bible. So this lady gave her Bible away that she has gotten. So she gave it to somebody and she was like, it's okay. So then they were reading the Bible and he saw that the lady was without reading, she was just moving her mouth because she knew the Bible by heart, because it was hard to have a Bible. Right. And so anyways, when he was coming back, somebody said, thank you so much, and I'm hoping that we get to be like you guys one day. And he was like, you know, don't wish that you're like that. I wish that my people were like you, that you were so willing to do, to give up to so much, right, to come and follow. And he was like, because in the United States, you don't have to travel that much to go to church. Or you go and the building has AC or has a heater, and you don't have, you're sitting down and you're very comfortable. But people, anyways, they don't like to go to church. And it reminded me when we were in Belize, we used to get 20 people in our truck, in the back of the truck, very uncomfortable traveling for 3 hours to get to our place.
Huh? No seat belts.
No seat belts.
Everybody piled in.
It was very uncomfortable, but people used to do it for 3 hours,
right,
because we used to pick them up for 3 hours and take them to our place. And they used to be very joyful, looking forward to that moment together. And, you know, for me, it is, I make a lot of excuses sometimes. Right now my excuse is Myra. it's a challenge to have a kid, and then she's crying, and then, just to get her out of the house. But it's an excuse. And when once I come in fellowship, I'm like, man, I really needed this. You know, you make excuses, but you need that. And even if it's a challenge to get out of your house and do things, once you get there and once you get to fellowship, you appreciate that God gives you opportunities like this.
That's a good point.
Absolutely. I think there's a couple things that you brought up that are really good. One is just the commitment that people have to learn about God, to fellowship with God. You know, these verses talk about how we sacrifice to be in community. And that looks like, you know, sacrificing our own resources, our own time, but also our own comforts. You know, we get uncomfortable. And yeah, we live in America where church is often comfortable. We come into a nice building with AC, with the heater, we have screens going, we have electricity, we only have to drive 20 minutes, maybe. That's kind of a long drive now for church, but you know, we don't even have to go that far to walk in the door and to have fellowship. But to be in community requires some form of sacrifice. And how many of us, when the weather is bad, when it's too hot outside, when it's raining, or if there's an issue going on with something, not even in our church building, wherever you're going to meet, are like, no, I think I'll just stay home. I'll just connect virtually. And they're not saying, trying to condemn anybody, but, you know, we want to have that same desire to be in fellowship and to fellowship with God and fellowship with other believers that, yeah, we'll make ourselves a little bit uncomfortable. Maybe we're not going to risk our own safety. Like, if it's not safe for you to go out because of whatever limitations you have, then yes, stay safe. But we need to be willing to put ourselves out there and to put ourselves uncomfortable to sacrifice, to be in relationship with the Lord, in relationship with our brothers and sisters. And, you know, and sometimes that looks like, you know, we're making up excuses and it's hard to get out the door, but we do it anyways, you know. And I think looking around the room, we've got a lot of different ages in here and a lot of people in different life stages. And that's how it's supposed to be. The church is supposed to be multi-generational. We're supposed to have little ones running around. We're supposed to have older, more mature Christians, more mature people. Yeah, we're a family. That's how God designed it. And it's good for us. You know, Titus 2 gives a wonderful, beautiful example of what that looks like in the church. And it's good for us to have that. And so instead of having whatever life stage we're in be a limitation, because I think we all can look at our own life stage right now and come up with a list of limitations, we say, but this is how God designed it, and it's good. It's a blessing. Like, yes, maybe it's inconvenient when we have the kids in the nursery on a Wednesday night screaming and being loud, but guess what? There's 11, 10 plus kids in there fellowshipping, learning about Jesus. And we're here learning about the Lord. And what a beautiful picture for us to be together under one roof. And then they're seeing older adults get to parent them in their faith, you know, get to talk to them about the Lord and fellowship and get to know them and spend time with us. And for us, we're seeing their faith grow, and that's such a blessing. You know, we are supposed to have faith like children, you know, and there's so many studies that say that grandparents who are around their young grandkids all the time end up actually living longer and having better life quality. And so there's just so many benefits of being multi-generational. But I think sometimes we might make up excuses and make that want to hold us back. But if you're in a life stage or you feel like that, like, come, and it's a blessing. And even if it's challenging, you know, it's still a blessing for your child and can be a blessing for others around you. So sacrifice, be uncomfortable for the sake of the kingdom.
Well, let me just share that playing piano and being solo in front of you is a huge challenge. And so thank you for, you know, letting me just stumble through it this morning. But the blessing part about it is that God, you guys understand that as a family, I didn't feel uncomfortable that I was screwing up because you guys are so loving and are willing to just sing along and knowing that we're worshiping God together. So it's like you were at my house and I'm playing and I'm just getting through it, and that's family, right? I mean, I can't remember the way the song goes, guys. And that it was genuine. It was genuine. I really didn't remember, and I wasn't embarrassed about it. I was just like, okay, someone's got to help me out here. And then we got into it, and we were just coming before our Father, and that was a true example. I honestly believe God, blanked it out of my mind as an example of just, you know, what you might think it'd be like to be up here. Oh yeah, she's got it together and this. No, I just love the Lord, and I'm sharing the gift that He's given me with you guys together. So thank you.
Amen. I don't know anybody in here who can do better than you.
Well, the point being is, you know, I tell you about how it started, right? I know I've sang on worship teams forever and ever and ever, but I don't play piano except for myself. And then pastor goes, oh, you play an instrument? Well, at home. So he throws it in front of me and goes, start playing these chords. And I'm going, you know. And so he encouraged me in it. And I think that when we are starting to share what we might know a little bit of, it encourages us to continue on, because it's not like you're getting judged by what you know. It's just the time that we grow together. You know, it's an opportunity to trip and have somebody right there with you, you know. And that's what, you know, I just love you guys. And it's taken me, you know, was it 3 years now? And I'm still stumbling, but it doesn't bother me like it did in the very beginning. I was so nervous to come and sing. I was so nervous. You know, my voice is show. I've done theater for years, so I can character it. But when it's Adriana before God, it's way different. It's just way different singing. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Yeah, and that's the blessing of community is, one, you can encourage one another, but two, if you are being in good community with your brothers and sisters, they will get to know you and they can help encourage you in giftings and talents and callings that maybe you weren't thinking of. You know, maybe your heart is praying, Lord, show me where I can serve, and you're having a hard time figuring out that area. But then you get to know your brothers and sisters and they say, oh, you're gifted here. You should serve here. You should do this. You know, and so a community is more than just a place to, you know, come and read the Bible together and have food and worship. Yes, we absolutely do those things, but it goes deeper than that too. It's meant to help us grow in our relationship with the Lord, to help us become closer to Him, to help us serve Him better, to be in fellowship, to support us when we need it, and for us to be able to bless and support somebody else when they need it. It's this holistic, really beautiful thing that, you know, the Lord calls us into. And when we walk in it and we function it, I think we can, you know, it really enhances our faith and our walk with the Lord. And so, you know, for our women's ministry, we already have 3 things that are going on. We're looking for more opportunities if you ladies are willing. But we have, you know, the monthly coffee fellowships, which you ladies are here. So that's one opportunity for us as ladies to come together in community. On Thursdays, we have a small time of just a lot of fellowship. We hang out, we talk, we get to know each other, we have some prayer. That's just really casual. We do that at my house. So if you're interested in joining that, let me know. And that's on Thursdays at 1 p.m. And then we're going to start that gift sharing, talent, hobby sharing thing, which is a great opportunity for us to share with our sisters as well. And to just continue to be in that fellowship and that community as, you know, we go through the year, and we're looking for just to do that. As the Lord opens the doors, our heart is sensitive to Him, to grow in Him, to grow closer to one another. So if I haven't got a chance to get to know you yet, let's get to know each other better. And if you haven't got a chance to know somebody else sitting here, let's make that step to get to know each other, to become closer, to bond together, and then to take that to serve the Lord and serve our city with. So we'll pray. Feel free to continue the conversation after we close in worship. Nobody has to leave. We still got coffee and snacks, so plenty of time to hang out in fellowship, but we'll pray and then close in a song of worship. Father, we thank you so much for the work that you are doing in our lives, that we get to have community and relationship with you, that we get to grow with you day in and day out. We ask that you help us stay focused in that. Help us stay steadfast in it, Lord. Maybe something that we are so passionate for and that we really do commit our entire life to. You know, you ask us, your word tells us to be in constant prayer with you, in constant thanksgiving with you, just this communication with you, letting you lead and guide our lives. May every part of our lives be yours, Lord. May we use them to serve you, to worship you. We know our resources, our time, our abilities, our giftings are yours. And so we ask that you use those for your kingdom. And for our community here, Lord, our community of sisters at Calvary Chapel Stockton, we pray that you help bond us closer and closer together. I know there are some women who have known each other for 20 plus years and are incredibly close and have gone through so much life together, Lord. And we thank you for that. We praise you for that. We pray that you continue to help us all grow in that, Lord, that you encourage us, that you provide us opportunities, that you help us get to know one another and grow our community, Lord, that we can be so unified, so focused on you, Lord. We pray that we can go out and share with other women, other people in our community about your gospel and that our church can be a safe place where people who are striving for that interpersonal connection, for that community, for that truth, can walk in and feel that, Lord. May we welcome them in to your family and into your community, Lord. We know that this is all yours, so we dedicate all of this to you, Lord. We ask that your hand is upon us, that you continue to lead us and guide us. Thank you for all the work that you are doing in our lives, for the ministries that you have placed upon our hearts. And we just pray that you continue to bless it, to speak through us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.